Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Michael Dougherty as we talk about the devil inside the Beltway and much more next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Michael Dougherty with us. We'll get to your calls, too. Michael, are individuals affected this way, too, or just big companies?
Oh, individuals. I mean, I'm the sole owner of this company. As a matter of fact, they go after the small because they consider us much weaker in the fight back. And they're really just looking for heads on spikes. So they went after a small car dealership in South Georgia that also was gone after by Tyversa. They went after an AIDS clinic in Chicago. That guy testified with me in front of Congress. They pick on the small with intent.
Now, what about remuneration, being able to recapture some of the money you folks all lost in legal fees and things with this whistleblower's testimony?
Well, okay, so it is actually very difficult to sue the government. It's called a Bivens action, and I did file a Bivens action, and everyone rolled their eyes and laughed. But Stanford School of Law did a big report saying that the Bivens action is suing federal employees for violations outside the scope of their work. If you sue a government person and he's working inside the scope of his work, he has immunity, no matter what bad thing he does. But if he's doing outside the scope of his work, so we sued, saying, going after me because of the book, working with Tyversa, relying on flawed evidence, that was outside the scope of the work. And we've survived the motion to dismiss. And Stanford's study showed that those suits actually work well if you pull out all the prisoners that sue relementlessly. Because there's a reputation, suing the government has a reputation for having a high failure rate. But if you take out the prisoners that are suing, it's not as high as you think. So that's worked well. And then also we are suing Tyversa and Dartmouth and everyone involved. And unfortunately, I'm learning all about the perils of the legal system. I mean, the weight of this, the anchor on this entire experience has been the people just find it too much to take in, too hard to believe. And I think that also happened with the judges, especially in Pennsylvania.
Well, they just shook their heads.
And really thought I was making this up. I mean, you would not believe some of the rulings we got. They just were, like, attacking us. And the one judge Bobick went into court about 5-6 months ago and said, I am under federal investigation and I need to stay the case or else I will have to plead the fifth. The next morning, the judge recused himself. Now, we don't know why because they don't have to tell you. But we have really run into it in the judicial system. D.C. Circuit's been okay.
What a nightmare.
The case with the 11th Circuit's been okay in fighting the FTC. But these other ancillary cases, trying to get money and hold people accountable, that has been tough. I mean, I just have to think that it's because people just find it hard to believe that what we're saying is true.
At your high point, were you doing pretty good business?
Oh, my gosh, we had $10 million a year, very profitable.
Oh, that was big. Did you ever think of going public at that time?
Stupid me. Yes, I always denied it because I was so happy doing what we were doing. I thought I was going to do that the rest of my life unless there's some huge technological change. I mean, I owned the company, great intelligent people, diagnosing cancer. We were humming. You know, and you feel like you're giving back and you're involved with the community and you're doing something really valuable and you're making a really good living. I mean, who can ask for anything more? And so I didn't want to. Hindsight, wouldn't have that been great? But I wouldn't have known what I was missing. I miss this big fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here we are. Let's go to the phones. We have Mark in New Mexico, first-time caller, to get us started. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Just to let everybody know, I'm using a pseudonym, but it probably doesn't particularly matter.
Okay.
I want to congratulate this gentleman. He's twice the man I was when the government came after my business 10, 11 years ago, and it was from an agency that most people consider benign, the National Park Service.
Geez, what happened?
Well, we had a small business, a gift shop at a national park, and the government wanted more money. They wanted a higher franchise fee, but they were supposed to take into consideration good service and things like that rather than jacking up the fees. But they broke our contract saying we didn't have a specific right of renewal. They denied giving us the documents to show why they wanted to raise the rates. They claimed all sorts of privileges, and I regret not suing them, but we went through the administrative process through the inspector generals and those kind of things, and of course, that's like the fox guarding the hen house, and we lost it. And I don't want to bore people with my sob story, but the government really can do these things, and they can try to make you feel like you're crazy for saying them, because they just, you know, with their nice little uniforms go on and say, well, we're just following the law, and deny everything.
Must have been frustrating.
They'll cheat.
Frustrating. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, don't beat yourself up, okay, because almost everyone settles should sell, because you are being very brutally honest about the cards in front of you. The issue is we have to have more Americans understand that this is our country. And the reason you didn't know that is because you weren't taught that in school. Here's the core thing. We are taught that we have three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, the judicial. But President Wilson in the early 20th century created the administrative state, and it was created so that politicians wouldn't run science and technology, and that we would have non-political. And doesn't that sound great? But what he did wrong, and FDR put gas on the fire, was that he allowed no separation of powers within the agency. So we have agencies that have their own courts, their own inspectors, their own judges, their own rules, and Congress says they can do that, so the judicial system doesn't protect us. So you go in front of these tyrants, and they know it, and they know that you don't know it. And they know the public and the media doesn't know it. So it's important to tell story, and it's important for you to get on the phone and tell people what happened to you, because that's how people believe this. And that really is what drives me, because it's shocking how they come in. And you're just a good American, and you're like, would my country exploit me like this?
Poor guy's got a gift shop at a park.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Don't these agencies have anything better to do than to go after small businesses and individuals?
No, and this is the warped thinking. Talk about groupthink, self-congratulation. These people think they're saving the world. And people will justify in their mind anything. That's the way the human brain's going to work, which is why we have to have the separation of powers. And they will get in there and they will think, you know, I'm sorry, but you've got to take it for everyone else, for the greater good, you know. And it's just like, you know, what did the torture chamber guy think in the 16th century? Same thing. People justify their behavior. But what we're having here is no due process, no notification, and it's the gun to the head. Like, yeah, you can have justice if you've got millions and years. And then you're thought to, I mean, how many people write a book like I wrote a book, and now it's even in TV series development? But, you know, I felt such a responsibility because I had 700,000 cancer patients that they don't care about. That is so outrageous. That gets me going every day. But I am far from alone in this.
Now, where's the case now? Because if you won, why is it still in court?
Because this is the thing. This is what's so hard for everyone to get, because it makes no sense. The court is inside the agency. So the court is below the commissioners of the agency. So you go to the court in their agency. If you win...
Which you did.
And I won. And I won big. He wrote a smack you down ruling. Then the commissioners meet and they go, we don't agree with that. And they overturn.
We don't agree with it? Simple as that?
I'm sorry?
That was just that simple? We don't agree with it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. They have the power. This is the power that's written over the years.
Jeez.
They have the power to change findings of fact. They have the power to completely say the judge is wrong.
How far will you take this, Michael, if you have to?
We'll go to the Supreme Court. We're under the 11th Circuit now. So when this case is over the 11th Circuit, whoever loses probably will certify to go to the Supreme Court. Because this is about the power of the agency. And this is the thing. They don't want you to get in front of judicial systems. They want you to be bullied down, because there is no law if it's not enforced, folks. So the law can say whatever it says, but if you don't fight for it, if they violate it, they can do whatever they want, and they know they can do it.
Why don't they just drop it?
They have egos the size of Montana. They've gotten stuck cavorting with criminals. they have their reputation and power on the line, and they're zealots. I mean, the Federal Trade Commission is known with inside the government, which I now spent 5 years with, as being zealots. I've heard a lot of bad things about the FTC. They were called the B team of lawyers that couldn't get into the Justice Department. But they're really, you know, they think they're Superman.
Next
and
up.
When you mess with people's identity, then you get a fight. And I'm messing with their identity of being good guys.
Let's go to Spokane, Washington. Dave's with us now. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got news for you. This process has now trickled down to the local level. In our legal legislation we have locally, they refer to these new departments as enterprise endeavors. The courts and the agencies are self-serving and excessive in their fees and their fines that they levy. But my question for you is, where is the professional oversight of these lawyers? You go back to the Lewinsky-Clinton affair. Why wasn't Bill Clinton disbarred, or I think he may have lost his license for a while, did he, to practice law? Why? Where is the professional oversight?
It costs about $700 an hour to hire someone to go after people. And you know what's terrifying? That when you try to be the whistleblower and you try to hold these people accountable, you can count on being attacked. You can be count on being told you're crazy, being drained dry financially. Look what Trump is going through right now, taking on the establishment. That's what they do. You are threatening their power, and they team together. So it's very difficult. The whistleblower that came out for Tyversa, he had cameras on his property. He was chased down the highway. He was spooked at. His kids were looked at and recorded at the bus stop. He had notes in his refrigerator in his barn. He had people banging on his door at 3 in the morning. Did anyone do anything? Nope.
No, not at all. And by the way, Clinton's law license was only suspended for a few years.
Right. And he wasn't messing with the cash. Just think if you weren't famous. It really is. You talk about the tentacles of power and the club. This has been allowed to morph for a century, not a term. This did not start with Barack Obama. This has been morphing, and we're at a tipping point because these people are so incompetent in cyber defense and medical management. We're seeing how terrible it is. We've never seen this level of incompetence before and how it infects us all personally. So I think we've gotten a real acceleration. And it's a whole different world now that Trump has won. When I was writing the book in 2012 and 13, I mean, oh my gosh, people were like, oh, you don't say Obama, you're going to upset everybody. Oh, your cover has an American flag on. I mean, it's incredible how far we've come in 4 years, but we've got a ways to go.
Tell me about the TV series.
Well, I was speaking in Washington, and I got approached by a producer from a company called Acumen, who, we have this whole new world now where everyone's making TV shows, and they did a trailer, and we're still working out the details, but I'm working on the pilot and the arc. And
Has it been pitched yet to either cable or the networks?
Well, we're not going to they own the patents to turning all your tablets and phones into
TV sets.
Projection television. So it'll be run that way. Amazon's doing TV series.
Yeah, so, and Netflix and all that, sure.
Right, so we're not necessarily pitching it. Although if something happens after, I'm actually building it first with probably them. I'm going to be at the ATX Festival in Austin, Texas next week for 4 days. And I'm in Malibu the end of June following Melanie Mayron, who used to be on 30-something. Now she's a big director. And I'm just absorbing and learning and writing in the middle of my time from being in courtroom.
Have you ever been to Austin, Texas before?
I have.
Yes. You know about the bats then that hang under that bridge?
Yeah. I was there with South by Southwest. So
zillions of
it's
bats.
So crowded. You just thank God you found a park.
Joe in Long Island's with us. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Michael. You know, I would recommend a course online. It's Yale Open Courses, an environmental law course that's available for free. An amazing course, but it really shows you how there's a lack of knowledge of the bureaucrats in the environmental area in terms of the science, and that gets leveraged tremendously, you know, in some of these legal battles. And I would say if you look at the senators and gave them tests in science and technology, they're probably behind the average layperson. And yet, these are people that are making big decisions, you know. And if you take this Russian hacking thing that's in the news constantly, I don't think anybody that's discussing this knows much about computers.
Huh. You're right. And you are so terrifyingly correct. And I've learned, I mean, working in medicine the years I've worked in, I will tell you that the Democrats thought they could run medicine and they're willing to handle the baby and screw it up. And the Republicans know they're going to screw it up. So they're terrified for different reasons. And they will screw it up because the original sin here is the American public has got to quit empowering politicians with medicine and technology. When I'm sick, I don't call my congressman. Why do you think they're going to know what to do? But we've duped enough people in this country, and they're not waking up to the mess that's being made. And you're going to pay the price when you're in your later life and have a chronic illness. That's when you're going to hit it. Anyone can take care of you with the flu and a cold or an allergy. But it's the complex stuff is where we really lose.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to James in Winnipeg, Canada. Go ahead, James.
Yes, hi there.
Hi there.
In Winnipeg, Canada here, we have our traffic court system that is done just by the police as well. So I got pulled over going in like a 70 zone, but the 70 sign was not shown because of snow piled all the way up above the sign in Winnipeg here. Mm-hmm. So I went to traffic court to defend myself to say that there has been snow covering the sign. And I had pictures and everything. And when I went there, they have a system here in Winnipeg called Points. And it's ex-police officers here that basically what they do is they fight your tickets. So you pay a police officer and their company and they get rid of your ticket and your demerits on your license and everything. And when I was sitting in court and I looked at the judge and I said, look at this. He just looked at me and said, I can't say nothing. And then when I was done my whole thing, every police officer that was a lawyer up there after that got everybody off their bogus cases off just because he paid the police officer system to pay the courts off.
Jeez. Well, that happens, Michael, doesn't it?
Well, it's a human condition here, folks. I mean, this is the thing. The original sin is separating powers, and we as citizens are equally responsible if we don't participate in the process. So that you will walk in and you will be shocked. And I was buried in medicine and did not have any experience with this until I was forced to and the tree fell down on me. But I want people to know about this without the tree falling down on them. So stories like this gentleman's, it's important because it isn't just federal. This is what happens when people get power. And they have to be held accountable. And there's got to be balances. And the power of media, radio, Twitter, story, that's good. I mean, it's fascinating to me that, like, House of Cards is so big, you know, and these stories are so huge because people want to learn about this right now. And I've got friends in D.C. who say they don't like to watch House of Cards because they think it's so true.
It's too real. All right, Michael, we're coming back for final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Michael Dougherty, of course, as we talk about his work, The Devil Inside the Beltway. And even though this book is several years old, is it still available out there, Michael?
Oh, heck yeah. As a matter of fact, it sells better now. It's Amazon, an ebook, audiobook, hardcover, softcover, because now, ever since that Business Week article, and then I won the case, now people read it with a whole different
perspective. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They sure do.
They haven't changed their ways, folks.
How much have these legal fees cost you?
Well, luckily, I have had pro bono defense in being a defendant. So Cause of Action, a group in D.C. that takes on cases where the government has been incompetent or unethical or corrupt, had paid for it all the way up to the appeal process, and then Ropes and Gray took over from there. The legal fees and the defamation case, I'm defended by insurance, but where I'm suing people's cost several hundred thousand dollars. But
Can you sue any of the individual members of the FTC board?
I can, and that's what you do in the Bivens action. You sue employees personally. So I sued the investigators. You can't, once they sue you, they have complete immunity. So you have to sue for what they did before they sue you. And that's what that Bivens action is about. Bivens is a case where the government, I think, entered some man's home and created great damage. And I think in the 60s, I believe. And it crawled all the way up the Supreme Court. And until that point, you were out of luck totally in suing the government. And the Supreme Court ruled you could sue government employees if they acted outside the scope of their job.
Would you say, Michael, that every department within government is abusive? Can we say that?
I would say almost. I think the ones that are chock full of lawyers and regulators are worse. I wouldn't say, and this is going to sound strange, and maybe I'm biased because I'm from a law enforcement family, but I'm not. I don't consider the Justice Department or the FBI, the NSA, the CIA abusive. Those guys have very professional standards. I do think it's been politicized the past decade, and I think the people that work in the heart and soul of it are frustrated, but that's different than abusive. I think the lawyers, everything that President Woodrow Wilson wanted an agency to be has turned into the opposite. It's turned into everything he didn't want it to be over the last century. They wanted to be regulators that were expert in what they're regulating, and it's turned into lawyers looking for notches on their belt.
Okay, let's go to the phones again. Final segment, Bob in California. Hi, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, George. I don't want people to know anything about my name or anything.
I understand.
I'm calling you.
Okay.
I got a real problem here in California. We've got our state health department here. It's kind of the other end. They're letting businesses get away with a lot of crap here. We've got landlords that have smokers here. The health department says that they should be out, but then you go to the health department and they say, well, we can't do anything. You go to the state housing commission, we can't do anything. We've got problems nationally with organizations. These cell companies, they're lying to people and saying they get unlimited cell service, and they don't. It's a cap, and they throttle people. And we went to the FCC about it. They said, we can't do anything. We went to the Justice Department. Well, we can't do anything. Obviously, they're being paid off. It's just ridiculous what people are getting away with. It's very, very sad today what I'm seeing out here.
So you're saying people are not being regulated enough, or the business people are getting away with too many things?
They're getting away with a lot, yeah, absolutely. And customer service today is the worst I've ever seen it.
You know, it's which comes first, the chicken or the egg, I would assume. You know, it's hard for me to relate to that in healthcare because, you know, actually there's almost a Darwinian process in healthcare. You don't participate in healthcare and screw it up. There's always bad in everything, and that's where I hesitate to hammer even all the agencies. But I do think there are cultures in the more regular ones. But as far as you know, landlords getting away with things. I mean, I think the impoverished always get punished, and I don't know if it's any different by the government or not the government. If you go to like Venezuela, or when I was in Bangkok, you know, see the policemen on the corners with all the gifts at their feet. There's always this power bribe thing that happens, and it's difficult. That is the problem. And the problem is, you know, more government is just not the answer. It just doesn't work, and it's hard to know where the balance is. But I don't think there's ever a perfect level. I mean, because we're humans, and humans do bad things.
The company that you had the issues with, they're still in business, I assume, right?
Yeah, they still are.
Are they as big as they were, or have they dropped?
No.
They're small.
No, but they're a private company, so they report nothing. So I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty darn sure with the feedback I've gotten that they're not. They've laid off a lot of people, and you know, they tried to create their whole thing was to create a false narrative that peer-to-peer network vulnerabilities are so huge, and we're the big solution. And their original business plan was to get the Federal Trade Commission to believe them and say it. Because when the government says you're supposed to do something, it creates an industry of people to conform, and it creates an industry of people to help you conform, and they wanted to be that problem solver. And so they duped the FTC, and I talk about that very specifically in my book towards the end. They absolutely duped these people, and this is once again why it's so important to verify your evidence. Had the FTC verified what they got from this company instead of just believe them, they would have discovered complete falsehoods that wasn't about me. What got Congress so crazy interested in this was when the whistleblower said, we took Barack Obama's plans for his helicopter off a consultant's workstation in Maryland and changed it to look like it came from Iran.
That's scary. Now,
we found Supreme Court Justice Breyer's personal information and manipulated it and lied to the Washington Post. Those are the types of things that would have never happened had the government done its job. But when you've got unelected people without accountability, you know, and I say it's not Democrat, it's not Republican, it's bureaucrat.
Do you feel let down?
I feel disillusioned. I don't feel let down. I'm pretty much I'm always an optimistic person, almost probably genetically. So, you know, I'm still optimistic. I still believe in Americans. I still believe in America. I believe I have a responsibility to do this because I feel like our nation's sick, but it will heal. I know this is not what the Founding Fathers intended. As a matter of fact, this validates what they believed in. But I just think that we've had a bag over our heads for a century, and the bag is just starting to come off. And I just think people have to understand how broad and bad it is, so it will not be fixed overnight. This is not Twitter.
Okay, next up, Pat in Minneapolis, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Pat.
Since you brought up the Founding Fathers, I'll just say, the documents they created that you are valiant enough to use, the system that came first before all these crazy invented things that are not in the Constitution, like the CIA, FTC, etc., they knew that every form of government is horrible, including this country would have problems with their government, and there would be horrible things. And they did create things that you are using that a lot of people are not able to use because they're not as valiant as you are, but you are helping to make things better for all of us who are not as valiant as you are. And as far as I believe Kennedy was right in deciding to dissolve the CIA. It never should have been created. Truman, who created the NSA, turned against it and said it never should have been created. And so, yes, when the police departments become horrible and confiscate private property, you have to reform them because you have to have police departments. You have to fix them so that they will be doing their job. But when you have these other kinds of agencies that are not necessary, and any sideline that they're doing takes them away from what they're supposed to be accomplishing so that they're worse than useless, don't you think that some of these agencies should not exist at all?
I think most should not exist, but here's the problem. This is because most people don't pay attention to the Constitution or even know who their senator is or even really understand the concept of separation of powers, sadly, and our education books don't teach it enough anymore. We're behind the ball, and so they get manipulated. So people at the EPA are like, well, if it wasn't for us, you'd be drinking dirty water and the rivers would be on fire. And some people think that. And so you are immediately a terrible person if you're not for the EPA. If you're not for the Federal Trade Commission, you're not for the protection of consumers. This is the grand manipulation. And, you know, we've seen enough corruption. And my hat's off to Mr. Norrie here for giving me platform. I mean, there are people in the media that haven't. It's broken through now, but I would say that George is an early adopter.
Yes, we were. We paved the way.
So But, you know, there are ways. It's an exciting time. It's a terrifying time. I'm actually very heartened with what I saw in the election. And I'm hoping that all these people that are losing their minds in the media are just in, like, their last gasps. Because they're only validating the fact that their duty to protect the public, which is the journalistic's first duty, is just gone. We don't have investigative reporters at the grassroots anymore to hold people accountable. So we almost have to restart journalism. And, you know, we're at a kind of a strange point. We're kind of crossing a river right now in the middle of the bridge, but I think we'll get there.
Did you have LabMD in Detroit or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
But like all good students during when Reagan was president and Detroit was swindling down, I moved right out of college.
Off you went. You know, did you hear the interview with my English teacher
when
you were on hold?
Yes.
She lived in Ann Arbor where you went to school.
I went to public school in Detroit before the riots, which were phenomenal education, and I was looking for my favorite teacher, Mrs. Picari, about 2 years ago.
Small world.
Some of my teachers got my book, and she died a year before. So I was thinking about that when you were doing that. That was really cool.
I went to the Dearborn Heights, Dearborn School District areas. I went to two different spots. We didn't have a high school in Dearborn Heights, so we went to Lawry High School in Dearborn at the time. Which I think now is a middle school, but small world, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a tiny world, but it's cool. I mean, and it's funny now. I learn as I get into my deep middle. I'm in my 50s, but that time of Detroit was a fascinating time because it went so quickly from such an exciting, high education, wealthy. I got a phenomenal public school education, and
I did
then the
too.
Riots hit and I didn't realize how much that impacted my childhood by just suddenly being way out in the country and being way ahead of everybody. And I actually grew up in a very Jewish neighborhood. I was one of six kids in school in my class that wasn't Jewish.
How old were you when you left Detroit?
10.
10 years old. Okay, you're just a little guy.
Yeah, so that I, you know, it was normal to, like, study hard and be smart. And then I moved out to, you know, the country where they didn't like that.
Let's go to Jay in Santa Fe, New Mexico, west of the Rockies. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Sure, Jay.
You know, it sounds like you're doing something pretty important. I've been in the federal government for 30 years. And
it's a long time.
You're explaining exactly what I've seen, and I'm a little afraid to say which agency I was with, but I saw in the 80s a gradual change from we're part of the executive branch, and our supervisors, the higher ones, started enforcing a lot of regulations that would force us to be more of a judiciary, you know, more justice, because the courts couldn't handle the cases that we had, and it involved people who were squatting and misuse of lands. So we couldn't send out enough of the police, you know, to go out and start, you know, serving subpoenas or,
Right, so they outsource it to a bureaucrat.
Exactly, and I was one of them.
Right.
There's
a term that one of my lawyers brought to my attention in D.C. that's cropping up. They call that persecution through process. And that is, we are totally skirting our rights for convenience and to avoid the process. Here it is, 2017. My firm was basically extorted and burglarized 9 years ago, and we've had lawsuits in federal courts in D.C., Pennsylvania, and Georgia, and we still have not had one shred of discovery.
Isn't that bizarre?
It's tragic.
It is.
And you know what the judges do when they find that out? Whistle past the graveyard.
How did you tell your employees all about this?
It broke in the press, and I didn't tell them for a long time because you can't do it. I mean, it's really pointless. But when it broke in the press, I had...
I mean, were you the bad guy for a while?
Yes. I was a bad guy. I wasn't a bad guy then, but then after, when the, I wasn't a bad guy for the first 7-8 months. Then the FTC sued me. When they sued me, and then it was in the news, and then it went from my in-house lawyer left, my VP of operations left, my VP of finance left, my dad went to hospice, my dad passed away 3 weeks after this happened.
Geez.
I mean, it was the worst part of your life. You just have to hold on and pray. And then it wasn't, I was the bad guy because people were confused. And when the government says...
And they didn't believe you, did they?
No, people want to believe their government's right. So they think you had to have done something to deserve this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I don't own the company, so I'm jumping off the ship. And that's what destroyed the company, is that the Federal Trade Commission just terrorized the employees. They subpoenaed 40 people. They subpoenaed employees, doctors, nurses, vendors, people that had left
commission. When the business closed, Michael, what happened to all the outstanding blood tests that you should have completed or given back to the people who were waiting for them?
Well, we finished that. I made sure we finished.
You did.
That was a gradual week-long wind down, and everyone had access to their data because that comes in front of everything. But what was fascinating, do you know, in our appeal to the 11th Circuit just 6 months ago, about five or six of the practices that were my clients all participated with a law firm in Washington to get on my side and tell the court how the FTC is damaging medicine and shouldn't be involved in this and doesn't know what they're doing.
That's the way to do it. Michael, once again, thanks for being on the program. Let's see what happens next for you, okay?
Yeah, the adventure's not over. Love being here. Thanks, sir.
Give us updates. The name of the book, of course, The Devil Inside the Beltway. You heard his story. Wow. Up next, we're going into the witch's cauldron. That's right, the craft and lore and magic of ritual vessels. Stand by. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. I hope you enjoy it. If not, they may put a curse on you. So you better like what you're about to hear.